Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
2 million people, 2.5 according to the EU, 2.5 million people according to the UN this morning have already left Ukraine, and so far Irish people have made 12,000 pledges of accommodation for those fleeing the Russian invasion through the Irish Red Cross website. Now this outpouring of generosity and support comes as 14 million euro has been donated to the charity to help with humanitarian aid. But with up to 100,000 Ukrainians potentially set to be accommodated in Ireland, just how will it all work? What should those people who've offered to open up their homes be preparing for? Well, I'm joined by Secretary General of the Irish Red Cross, Liam O'Dwyer. Liam, you're very welcome to the programme. Thank you for being with us. We have very many questions to get through with you on the programme. But before we come to those, give us a sense of the scale of the pledges and the donations that you're getting.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Claire. Well, first, let's start with the donations. I think we're very close to 15 million has been donated by the Irish public. In most generous and extraordinary, really, response. And as well as that, the business community are stepping up at the moment and they're also making significant contributions. The money, again, targeted to straight into Ukraine, into Poland for the Red Cross there, and into Slovakia as well and Hungary, because that's where people are, I suppose, amassing on the borders at this stage, particularly now in Slovakia, where there's, I think at this stage, 140 or 50,000 people have gone through there.
You had said from the very beginning that cash donations were more useful than people who were helping or thought they were helping by donating goods. I just see the journalist Hannah McCarthy on Twitter has released some photographs of the pile-up of goods on the border, and she's saying there's a potential here for these items to clog up the logistical chain, so you can't get the products through that you need because you've got all of this stuff accumulating. Yeah. Is that right?
It is. That is a problem, and I think you can talk to other aid or development agencies and they will say the same thing. There is a place, obviously, for goods, for tents and sleeping bags and material like that, but really it needs to be directed to specific places, to specific warehouses, because you've got huge logistic operations. So the Red Cross they internationally have been really clear with us, and they've said to us, look, send us cash, and what we'll do is we know exactly what we need to buy, we know what people need, we know where to source it, and we just need you and the general public to resource that. And that's what's happening. And in fact, it's even more in your face at the moment, because people are now in need of cash. So you have people from Ukraine who are on the move and they're going to need to be supported, particularly at border crossings. So again, it's cash transfers as well as the food, the blankets, the tents, the insulated tents, medicines, other medical supplies. All of these things are needed.
Mm-hmm. But all of those items you're saying can be bought by
Red Cross officials
yeah. there.
Yeah. And they know, it's the same, Claire, for the UN and the other organisations. They know where to get the materials. They just need to be resourced to get them.
Okay, these pledges of accommodation, so many of them now, what are you up to?
We're up to 13,400. And we know there's more in the system because our phones have also been inundated.
Yes, and this is a scale that you've never seen before at the Irish Red
never.
Cross.
I mean, we set this up initially for the Syrian refugees who came, and as I think I've said before, we received 1,000 offers, which was fantastic. Whereas this is way beyond what we could have imagined, and it really indicates how strongly Irish people feel about this situation. So, what I'm saying to people is, be patient with us on this because it's a huge volume, and we are insisting on phoning everyone and reacting to it. And we have a team of people, all volunteers actually, who are doing this at the moment from Three and from Web Summit. They are actually phoning the people to verify the pledge.
Yeah, can you cope with the level of pledges? I have quite a few people saying I contacted the Red Cross to offer accommodation. I've had no response. Another one, I signed up 2 days ago. I'm not sure if it was submitted because I haven't received an acknowledgement. Should I expect a confirmation?
You can expect a telephone call. He or she should have got a confirmation. But I think people need to be patient when you look at the volume. number of people who have pledged, it will take us some time to go to everybody, and we will go back to everyone, and that's why we've a team there to ensure that that happens and happens properly.
Okay, and let's get to some of these questions then. I live in County Roscommon. I have accommodation to offer. I'd really like to assist, but there are only a few counties open for registration. Is that correct? Are you open to all counties?
No, we're open to all counties. I have 151 here from Roscommon.
Okay, so perhaps...
I think part of the problem was that it was set up for a different time, and even though it functions fine, but I will make an adjustment to the website to clarify that issue over the weekend.
Okay.
But at the moment, we have 151 from Roscommon, which is fantastic.
And you welcome more from all parts
of Ireland. Absolutely, yes, from all. Like, all 32 counties are here, or 26 counties are down here in front of me with the numbers for each county.
Okay. What about Garda vetting, Liam? I mean, there could be very valid safety concerns and child protection issues. So will the families and individuals who are offering accommodation, will they be subject to Garda vetting?
No, and it's a matter we will, obviously, and I had a conversation with a person in Tusla this morning, but we sought advice on this matter when Assyrians were coming here. And the advice is that the parent is the guardian of the child. So that when you're placing a mother, a father, or a mother and her daughter or whatever, that the mother is the guardian of the child. And once the parent is there, then that's not a Garda vetting situation.
Mm-hmm. And
at the same time, that we have actually asked, just to be sure.
Mm-hmm. And did Tusla express any concerns about that? Are they satisfied that that goes far enough?
Well, no concerns were expressed the last time, and that's why we're actually researching that just at the moment.
Okay, so you put the call in, but you haven't had a full response yet. Is that what you're saying?
No, to be fair to them, no, I haven't. And we've worked on the basis of the information we were given previously, which was very clear.
Yeah, it's just, I suppose, people will be watching those coming through. They've been traumatised, particularly if they've had to leave half their family behind, the journey that they've been through, what they've experienced. So you could be dealing with a guardian who is a parent, but they might be in a very difficult place themselves.
There's no doubt about that. And I think from advice to the pledging family, I think that people need to be aware that while people will have been very resilient in themselves to get themselves out of that awful situation that they have been in and to make their way here, they will have been traumatised. Many people will have been seriously traumatised by what they have experienced. And I think it's important for pledgers and other people just to be aware of that.
Okay, so you're waiting to hear back from Tusla on that, just to get clarity. Philip says taking in a refugee involves costs. New clothes, heat and light, food, etc. Will the host get any financial support?
The host is the answer to that. From the start, the answer is no, but should be no costs for the host. So any cost that the host requires in terms of ESB bills or anything like that, they can all be covered. They'll be covered by the family who are coming in. And if there are issues regarding that with a money up front immediately, that will be supported by ourselves.
So the social welfare that the family is given, that will be expected to be used to help with bills?
Yes, yeah. Well, the basic bills, I mean, the family will have, when they arrive in, when people are coming to Ireland at the moment, there are the hub at Dublin Airport, where a person will receive their social welfare number and all of the documentation that they need. And they will be in a similar position to any other citizen in the country. So they will be able to access their social welfare benefits. And in an interim period, obviously, we would step in and assist. But there should be no cost to the host except the provision of the actual accommodation. Now, obviously, this takes a bit of time. And what's going to happen is that the government have set up emergency accommodation centres and reception centres. And so the initial refugees are moving now to those centres first. Before they move out into either pledged or private rented sector or wherever they will move to.
I'm just wondering, will there be mediation there? It's going to be a difficult conversation for a host family to have with the people who move in, and also the family who move in. Someone will have to make sure, surely, that they're being protected and they're not being gouged in any way.
Yeah, well, that's the work of we have staff who do that work. We always introduce a family to the pledger family, and that is the normal procedure that we follow.
Okay, so there will be somebody from the Red Cross monitoring that situation on both
and
sides.
There are other, just to say, Claire, there are other organisations who are helping with that as well, who have caseworkers themselves and who will be taking on some of this work too.
Okay, is there anything, says this listener, one can do short of offering accommodation which may not be possible, such as offering transport, etc.? Are you looking for anything else, Liam?
Yeah, on the pledge database, services can be offered as well. And I think the types of services, transport services and also interpreter services, they're going to be very important. But they will be important further down the line. I think what people have to realise is that really the Pledger website is largely only operable for the last week, and there has been this extraordinary influx. Mm-hmm. So, this will take a little bit of time.
So a person like Michelle, who's been in touch, doesn't have accommodation to offer but can help in person in a practical sense. There may be an opportunity there if you go on the website to pledge that help.
Yeah.
Can a renter still pledge rooms?
Say that again.
So someone who's renting a home, say they're renting a house and they have a spare bedroom, can they pledge accommodation?
I'm sure they can, by the way, if they're renting it, and if there's no provision in the rental agreement that you can't sublet or bring somebody in, well, then I don't see why not.
Mm-hmm. Is a family bathroom necessary for the Ukrainian family, a separate bathroom? This person says our house is old and only has one family bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons for the telephone calls, because we need to talk to people about the type of accommodation that's available. While all accommodation is, we're delighted with any accommodation, we then have to go back, obviously, and match a Ukrainian family into that accommodation. And we need to be sure that they know what the situation is. One bathroom is difficult. And I mean, that's simply a reality for anybody, whether they're a refugee or not.
We've lots of people texting us from rural areas with queries similar to this one. I have rooms, but I live 4 kilometres from the nearest village with no transport links. Would this be suitable? Well, that depend on the family. That's probably going to be figured out in the phone call, Liam.
It does. That they're the sorts of discussions. And look, I also have to say, the last time when we did this with our refugees from Afghanistan and from Syria, rural accommodation without transport links was not used very often. And in fact, that meant we were leaving behind often very, very good properties, particularly holiday homes that were fine properties. But they were so isolated that, in particular, people with children, that we could not use them.
Well, you might have the luxury now of turning down those properties this time round, Liam, with the numbers.
Claire, you're absolutely right. I think given the volume of offers, we want to consider each of the offers. But equally, we're not aware yet of how many people are actually arriving. It would appear at the moment that around 400 people are arriving each day. And we're not sure how will that build up into a much, much larger cohort. I met yesterday with people from the Ukrainian community who were offering advice in this area, and they were just letting me know what the particular needs for the Ukrainians were. Were also offering help around interpretation, which is really good.
Well, we have Natalia Martinenko, who's from Kharkiv in Ukraine, but has been living in Ireland for over 20 years. And Liam, if you can stay on the line, that would be great. And Natalia's family are fleeing Ukraine in the aftermath of the invasion. And I know, Natalia, you're hoping to welcome your sister and your 86-year-old mother to come and live with you. We spoke to you earlier in the week, didn't we? What has changed, if anything, since then?
Yeah, I was outdated with the help offers and support for all the friends and relatives and neighbors offering me use of their bathrooms downstairs because my house is not exactly fit for wheelchair user, like somebody who is really that old, like needs special stairs, lifts and things. So people offering me using their downstairs bathrooms if I'm going to have to use, so, you know, bringing the person for the wash. Yeah, there's all the information about all the coaches going, all the convoys going to Ukraine. It's such a good news. And I actually sort out the money transfers. Like, there was no internet there, and there was no connection to the banks. And I was just leading them to call the bank in any way. But it looks like they did sort out the transfer.
Okay,
so money transfer directly is not as simple, but
yes.
Yeah, I think Red Cross is the best thing to have.
So
donations.
Is your sister and your mother, are they on their way now?
I'm taking them on Monday. I'm going to fly on Sunday, and Monday I'm taking them to Romania, and
okay.
Then they're flying on Wednesday.
All right, so a difficult few days ahead, but hopefully the outcome will be a very, very hopeful one for you.
Yeah.
Listen, we heard Liam there talking about all the offers of accommodation, which is wonderful, but what do you think that people from Ukraine will need when they get here? What will be the most urgent requirement?
The urgent requirement is warmth, basically. Just to be warm and welcomed. In the way of ability of people moving, I was listening to lots of women don't drive, but some people may drive, yeah. And, yeah, this is going to be a tiny bit of an issue how they get around themselves. Inside the house, it's absolutely the same as any European nations. We eat every type of food. We eat all the meat. There's no restrictions of anything. So if there's nothing especially have to be prepared for
so
them.
Just a safe, warm home and not much else really, Natalia. That's what people are looking for.
I was thinking exactly like when my family will be coming, I just do potato and roast, like every family would like that. Nice, like obviously a bit of privacy, but then an area where you could kind of come down, relax.
Yes, and a calm place for them to settle at least for a while. Natalia, thank you very much. Liam, you want the donations and the pledges to keep coming?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, no, there's certainly the donations. We're absolutely thrilled with the response to date. And indeed, the pledges, it's quite an astonishing response from Irish people.
Liam, thank you very much indeed. And Natalia, thanks to you too. We'll be going live to Ukraine after this break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.